And I would call this being loosed from Satan's grip. Being loosed from Satan's grip. You know, he can get a hold on us. And when you come over here to the 13th chapter, beginning in verse 10 down to verse 17, you see our Lord who heals a woman that has, for 18 years, was basically unable to straighten up. You know, when our Lord, as I go through my Bible, I believe there are 33 miracles recorded that our Lord performed. I think there are no doubt more of them. But there, these 33 miracles can be placed in four different groups. When you study the miracles, for example, first group is ruling over nature. For example, we have Jesus walking on water and feeding the 5,000. That's ruling over nature. Then restoring health as a second group. First group, ruling over nature. Second group, restoring health. And we're going to see that today. And then the third group is removing demons. Removing demons. We know that he did that. And then fourthly, raising the dead. Ruling over nature, restoring health, removing demons, and raising the dead. Now, why did our Lord perform these miracles? I want you to know, I say this reverently, our Lord was not a show-off. He didn't do them just to do them. He had a purpose behind them. Number one, of course, anything our Lord did, anything we did, should be the glorification of God. Well, the reason, number one, was the glorification of God. And secondly, was the confirmation of his deity. These proved the deity. And thirdly, a demonstration of his power. And number four, the alleviation of suffering. Well, this dear woman we're going to look at today, for 18 years, bound for 18 years. Father, I pray today that as we look at this passage, that you will speak to us and see the application here in this passage for Jesus' sake and for his glory. Amen. I want to notice, first of all, if we can this morning, the condition of this woman. And then I want you to notice, secondly, the compassion of Jesus. And then thirdly, the criticism of the critics. You know, anything God does a great thing, you guarantee you there's going to be critics. We recognize here the condition of the woman here. And as you look here in verse 10, and he was as he was teaching in one of the synagogues, I'm in Luke 13, verse 10, in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could not in wise lift up herself. Now here we have the condition of the word. I want you to underline and note here, if you look at verse 11 again, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity. Now underline that, because that spirit here deals with the fact that there was something going on inside her that created, in other words, she was bent in her spirit that caused her to be bent in her body. Now mark that down, because I'm convinced today that a lot of people who have physical ailments, not in all cases, but in many cases, as a result of something that is going on inside themselves. Doctor, so back there shaking his head in agreement with me. I have a doctor in our church who tells me often some people come to him very depressed, very emotionally disturbed, and therefore it affects the physical body. We know, for example, if you study Psalm 32, Psalm 38, you'll recognize David, when he had committed sin with Bathsheba, was physically ill. There was something going inside of him. And so we see here she had a not just a physical infirmity, but a spirit of infirmity. And I want you to notice here, and she was bowed together. Now that word bowed together, if find in Luke was a medical doctor, it is a medical term for the curvature of the spine. A curvature of the spine. I have a daughter who was in a wheelchair, and oftentimes when I see her, I have to help straighten her up in her wheelchair because of the curvature of her spine is so bad that she has even a hard time anymore sitting in a wheelchair. And it is a difficult thing for her. And she often is bowed down. But it is a medical. She was bent in her spirit as well as her body. She was bent in her body because she was bent in her spirit. You know, I got thinking about that. I had you wonder. The condition of the woman first deals with the spirit. I was thinking as I read this passage, I wonder what our congregation would look like this morning, or the congregation of any church, if what was displayed on the outside was what was taking place on the inside. I wonder what would our congregation look like. I wonder, all across America this morning as churches are meeting, I wonder if there'd not be some dead bodies sitting next to you. Because some people will come to church and they'll be a corpse spiritually. What's going on inside in their spirit, but the outside would indicate at all what was going inside. You ever sat next to a corpse? Now, I've been around corpses many times in the ministry. I've not sat next to one. I've held the hands of more than one, a person who's going out into eternity, but I don't think I care to go to church and sit next to a corpse. But I want you to know that some churches, and maybe here today, there's a corpse. Spiritually, you are not saved today. Maybe there are some today who have walked in church this morning and they're blind. Maybe they can't see. They can't see their own sinful problems. How easy it is it not, as oftentimes a preacher will preach? And I remember somebody telling me one time, he said, "Boy, I wish so-and-so was here. They needed that message." I'm thinking to myself, you're blind. For they could not see their own. And so what is on the inside oftentimes is not just the corpse, but that blindness. And if it was on the outside, we'd have people coming in going like this. I wonder also, there would be some who would come in crippled. They would come in crippled. They would come in and couldn't walk straight, and they would maybe drag a leg because they weren't walking correctly with our Lord. I wonder if on the outside is displayed what was happening on the inside of many of God's people. I wonder if that'd be the case. I think some would come in frowning. Frowning because there is a spirit of anger and resentment. I'm going to tell you something. You be careful with anger and bitterness and resentment, because it will kill your enthusiasm for the things of God. And I know more people today that have lost their enthusiasm for God because of something on the inside that displays on the outside. Frowning, bitterness, anger, and their enthusiasm, it's cost them that. It's cost them that. Some would have putrefying open sores of rebelling coming in this morning. Some churches, people would have sores, running sores, because they're rebellious. You know, they come in with their spiritual arms, not necessarily physically, although I've seen some do that. I dare you to try to move me. I dare you. And some would be like this lady. They would come in. This lady was so bowed over, she could not straighten herself up. As you read the text, your curvature of the spine was so bad, and that was an indication that there was despondency and depression going in. And I think the more she was troubled within, the more she began to bend more over and over, until after a while she couldn't straighten herself up. I wonder if there's some would come in here today. They've not seen the sun. They only look down at the earth. As this woman came into church service, she could not straighten herself. No doubt she had very seldom seen the sun. She was looking at the earth. And I guarantee you something, you look at this world long enough, you're definitely going to get more depressed. And she was so bent over because of her condition. And I'm convinced today there are some people who are so despondent and so depressed, and they never look up. They're always concentrating, always gazing on their problem and never gazing on the Son. I mean the Son of God. There's no prayer life because their passion for God is gone. There's no personal devotions because their devotion to God is dead. And I don't know, that may be one of your conditions today. Maybe you were here. I could have some corpse here today. Now, you may have some today that are deaf too. They can't hear. I was kidding my congregation. We have a fairly good-sized deaf ministry. And I was talking to a preacher one time, and he said, well, you have a deaf ministry. I said, yeah, we have a pretty good sized deaf ministry. And they said, well, how many's in your deaf ministry? I said, 650. And they said, well, good night. How many's in your church? I said, 650. Because there are times I'm convinced that some of them are so deaf they never hear what God is trying to say. Let that not be with us. Let that not be with us. I draw your attention to the spirit of infirmity. 18 years, now 18 years of happiness goes rather quickly, doesn't it? But 18 years of sadness and suffering goes rather slowly. You know somebody now that is suffering goes rather slowly. Somebody's happy goes rather quickly. But we notice something else about this woman. We not only see this word spirit that I had you underlying there and in verse 11, but back up to verse 10 for just a moment. Here's the second S I want you to underline. And he was teaching in one of the what? Synagogues. Today, that would be, we would call that the place of worship. And I want you to know that this place here that you've come today is a place of worship. But I want you to notice something else about the church. It's a hospital. It's a place where people can get healed. When I come over there, if you'll just put something so you can get past that passage quickly, but go over there to Romans 12, and I look at verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Would you underline that word? Because within the word hospitality is another word. What is it? Hospital. And I think today that we need to realize there are people out there that are bent over, who only God can straighten up. But somebody's got to show them that we are a hospital. We are a hospital that can meet the needs if we just get them in. Let the Word of God do its work on them. And I'm convinced today that today, you know, it's so different today than it was years ago when I went into the pastorate. I've led many people to Christ by knocking on a door. I find also you have to build some relationship with people. I don't know how many people I've won to Jesus Christ in the last 10 years by building relationships with them. I mean, getting to going out and having a cup of coffee with them, or biting him over to the home, or helping to, I don't help them to fix anything, but maybe mow their lawn or whatever needs to be done. And I built relationship and won them to Jesus Christ because I got, and you know, we're too busy for that today, and that's a mistake. We need to get involved with people in our neighborhood and people in our lives that God brings to us because we are a hospital and they are crippled and we can heal them through Jesus Christ. We can see them healed, that is. I notice here, she goes to the synagogue, and if she hadn't have gone that day, she would still have spent more years in her infirmity. She did not just come there to worship, but that's where she met Jesus. That's where she met Jesus. And I'll tell you where most people are going to meet Jesus. They're going to meet Jesus through you, and me. Because we're part of the church. We're part of the church. I remember one of the church I pastored, and in Michigan, they had a wild game dinner. Have you ever been to a wild game dinner? I mean, they serve things there that you end up to gag a maggot. But I ate it. And I remember when we had that dinner and we had about 500 there and about 25 got saved. Now, they wouldn't come but the necessary to church, but some got them out there and worked with them, and after they went after them and kept going after them, and we won some of those, and they're in the church today. Are you listening? Until you see this church as a hospital and you are a nurse to get them to the physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to see people get saved. Now, I'm not suggesting for a moment you can't knock on doors. But I'm going to tell you, building relationships, I think, going to get more people saved that way. Now, you may not like that, but I think it's true. I do remember one time knocking on a door. I think I told you that, knocked on that door. My wife and out on a Sunday afternoon visiting, and no one came to the door. And the very next Sunday, the lady showed up well-dressed. She said, "I just want you to know, I want to thank you. I'm saved and on my way to heaven because of you." I said, "What are you talking about?" She said, "You visited our house, and I was sitting in my kitchen table with a gun to my head. My husband had left me, and I saw no reason to live, and you knocked on my door, and it startled me. I put the gun down. I peeked through the curtain. I waited till you left, and I picked up your literature. I read it, and I did what it told me to do, and now I'm a child of God." Boy, I tell you, that excited me. It excited me. We're a hospital. We're not just the church building where people meet and go home. You know, like Vance Havner said, that church started at 11 o'clock sharp and left at 12 o'clock dull. They come and they go. It's over with. We've made our commitment. That's not what the church is all about. Let's get excited. I think thirdly, I see another S. Drop down there to verse 16. And he's speaking now after he has healed her, and he said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound low these 18 years?" And I want you to notice something. The old devil never frees, he only binds. Now, I'm convinced that when this devil had caused this woman, and the Lord will let the devil go so far in my life and your life. I want you to note that. The devil's very real in our lives. Now, I believe this woman was not in any way demon-possessed. She was demon-oppressed. I don't believe she was demon-oppressed because I find nowhere in Scripture that Jesus ever touched anybody who was demon-possessed. He just commanded the demon to come out, but he touched this woman. She was bound, and I got thinking about that. Remember that there in the book of Job? Turn there for just a moment here. Chapter 1 over there, if you will, please, of the book of Job, and look at that passage there with me. In verse 12, and the Lord's, chapter 1 of Job, and the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in thy power," referring to Job. "Only upon him put not forth thy hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You know what he said? He said, "You can go just so far. God's still in control." And sometimes he will let the devil work people over, but the God has an alternative motive, ulterior motive, so that person will get close to God. I come to the New Testament, and I go over there to the book of 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you want to turn there for just a moment, I look there in verse 8, or verse 7 of 2 Corinthians, when Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Here it is, the messengers. Now that messenger, I call them Satan's errand boys. Demons. I don't think I'm important enough for the devil to come after me, but I do think he has some errand boys that can do it. He can't be omnipresent. He's not omnipresent, but he has his demons and worked Paul over. I come over there to 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 18. He said, "We would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered me." I want you to understand the devil was very real today. And so we see here the condition of the woman. It was in her spirit. It was bound by Satan. But she went to the synagogue, and there she met Jesus. And that draws me to the second thought, the compassion of Jesus. Look, there are three things about our Lord in this passage I don't want you to miss. Let me give them to you. Our Lord is omnipresent. Our Lord is omniscient, and our Lord is omnipotent. All three of these great attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ that only God has found in the text. First of all, our Lord is omnipresent. Look at verse 12. begin at verse 11 because it picks up the context. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, was bowed down together, the curvature of the spine, and could not in no wise lift up herself. I thought of that. Stop right here. She was so weak she could not even get herself up. I don't know, this woman may not have had any strength, but I like this woman because she sure had grit, enough grit to go to church. She's in the synagogue. You know, I'm getting tired of so many people giving excuses why they don't go to church. It's amazing how sick they get on Saturday night and get well on Sunday night so they can be at work on Monday or whatever else they want to do. But this woman here was not about to allow that thing to happen in her life. She had enough grit to go. And if there was ever a woman who should have said, no, I can't go, I can't even hardly get myself out of bed in the morning. Do you ever want to sleep in on Sunday morning? I have. I know many times I've said to my body, I get up out of that bed. I'm going to get up. You know, I found that I can't get up unless my body comes with me. And I can't go to church unless my body comes with me. Oh, I'm so tired. I get sick of it when people say I'll be there in spirit. If you can't bring your body, stay home. We don't need any ghost in church. Our Lord, verse 12, and when Jesus saw her. Oh, can you see this crowd of people at that synagogue? I mean, this little bent over lady for 18 years of her life bent over. You can't, she's just down here. And I think no one paid any attention to her, but Jesus omnipresent. He can be, he saw her. He saw her in the crowd, and I want you to notice something. The Lord Jesus Christ sees you and sees me, and some problems we may have in our life, He sees them better than any. He sees them better than you see them, and I see them. He sees things we don't see. He sees the infirmity. By the way, there's something in your body right now. The Lord already knows He's going to kill you, take you home with Him. I don't need to know that unless it can be healed. But I'm not worried about it. I'm going to be healed one day. I'm going to get a new body. Our Lord is omnipresent. He occupies a place where He can see all. He sees what no one else can see. She's bent over. No one can see her. But our Lord, notice again, and when Jesus saw her. You know, I have to often, I think I said this Wednesday night, but I have to just stop and I get a little emotional about this. I'm glad Jesus saw me when I was 21 years of age, saved me. I'm glad He saw me. All bent over, loaded down with sin, He saw me, saw you. Secondly, our Lord is not only omnipresent, He's omniscient. Verse 12, He called unto her and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. He didn't walk up and say, no, what's your name? Now, I have this problem. The older I get, how many else have that? I just forget people's names. Anybody else besides me? I just hope I don't forget Marilyn's name. Working on that every day so I don't forget her name. I don't want to say woman. You try that, that'll get you nowhere. Well, it'll get you somewhere you don't want to be. But woman, no. He knew her. More than anything else, He didn't ask what was wrong with her. He knew what was wrong with her. Doesn't need to ask her name or what's wrong with her, for He's all-knowing. Our Lord is not only omnipresent, He's omniscient, but He's omnipotent. Oh, I see three thoughts in that thought here. I see His tenderness, don't you? He called her to Himself. You see that there in verse 12? And when Jesus, He called her to Himself, what tenderness our Lord had that day. Oh, no one paid any attention to her. She had been at church many a time in the synagogue. No one cared. No one cared for my soul. She could say, no one cared. But He cared. He cared for her. He called her to Himself. I'm thankful. I thought about the time God called me to be one of His children. That call was a high calling. It's a heavenly calling. It certainly is a holy calling. He called that woman. He's going to take care of her that day. It will not only see her tenderness, his tenderness, but I see his touch. Look there, if you will, please, in verse 12. And we, Jesus, saw, he called unto himself and said to her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmities, and he laid his hands on her. There's the touch as well as the tenderness. By the way, I find that if you want a touch of God in your life, when he says, come here, you better come here, where he can touch you. A lot of people want God's blessings, but they don't want to be where God can put the blessings on them. He said to the woman, come here. And I got news for her. She hadn't have come there, she wouldn't have got the blessing. She wouldn't have got healed. I'm glad I still believe in the free will. I really do. She didn't have to. She could have just turned around while kind of crawled away. She might have thought, he's one of these faith healers. I never will forget when we discovered our handicapped daughter had cerebral palsy and was mentally handicapped. And I got more calls that if you just go see this person and go see that person and get a touch, they can touch you and you're, she'll be healed. She can be healed. Well, that's a doctrine of baloney. My God had a purpose and has a purpose for that little girl. And thank the Lord, he does have a purpose. He has a purpose for Isaiah back there. Got his purpose for your life. I always kid him. I said, Christina can probably whip you in a race in the wheelchair. Not really, because she can only use one hand. God has a purpose for you in this handicap. God has something he wants for you far beyond our understanding. The touch. There could not have been touch if she did not come. And not only do I see here the tenderness and his touch, but I see his task. And immediately she was made straight. You know what the task of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know why I came to earth 2,000 years ago? Straighten people up. That's it. Straighten people up. We need to be straightened up, look up, and get ready to go up. Until she was straightened up, she couldn't look up. And God did a wonderful thing. The Lord, his task. What did he do here? And immediately she was made straight. What he did for her, he did for me when I was 21. He poured his life into my being. That, by the way, is what salvation is. He poured his very life and to everyone here that's saved. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He poured his life into us. And he straightened her up. By the way, I think when he touched her and immediately, I think if a person been bent over for 18 years, how difficult that would have been. But not when Jesus touched your life. I mean, she probably went, whoa! It's okay to get excited. It's okay. I want you to know something. If we had somebody here that just immediately physically touched and sight was given back, or they straightened up, man, we'd get so excited we wouldn't want to do it ourselves. Well, let's get excited about the Lord Jesus. He wants to do some touching today. He wants to do some changing today. He wants to straighten us up. Some of us are so crooked we go through a pack of pretzels and not knock a grain of salt off of. That's pretty crooked. I got some of that crookedness in my life. Anybody here besides me? I got some that God has to straighten up on a regular basis. I'll let him. But finally, and in closing, I only see here the condition of the woman and the compassion of Jesus, but I see the criticism of the critics. I've often said, a critic is like a cricket, always in the dark and always making a lot of noise. That's a critic. And a great work that is done for God, it's not without criticism. It's not without criticism. I suppose there are some people who would criticize our church here. because maybe things aren't going the way they thought it was fast enough. How many are like me, impatient? I'm so impatient I make a tranquilizer nervous. But God wants to teach us patience in everything we go through. Amen? I look at some of these men out here waiting to find out, Doc back there, what's God going to do for him. He wants a church in Virginia or West Virginia or in the mountains somewhere. God's going to give it to him in his timing. Amen? Brother, where we're going to bring to you, have him ordained. I got several questions, the Bible questions I don't know the answer to, so I'm going to ask him at the ordination council. Not true, I'm just kidding. But we are going to ordain him. Now, I want you to notice three responses as we close this morning. I want you to notice the woman's response here in verse 13. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and what? Glorified God. We find the woman praising God. You know, some of us have lost our praise since we've been saved. I imagine that woman, after 18 years, could not praise the Lord enough for straightening her up. I hope that you are praising God today because you were crooked and God straightened your life up. Are you still praising Him? I've been saved, I'm not good at math. Let me think how long I've been saved. 50-something years. Wow. I don't want to quit praising Him for what He did 51 years ago. 52 years ago, I'll get it straight. If I keep it up, I'm going to tell you how old I am. Anyway, we notice, secondly, the common people responded with pleasure. Not only do we see the woman responded with praise, but look at verse 17, drop down, and when he said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. We see praise, we see pleasure, but we see provocation. In the middle, between the woman's response and the people's response, we find the critics. The religious crowd responded with provocation. Very interesting in verse 14. I see two or three things as I close. I've noticed they criticize that he chose a day. The critics chose a day over deliverance. He healed on the Sabbath day. So they were upset. They chose a day over deliverance. And let me tell you something. They said, why couldn't you do this tomorrow? You know, that's the problem with society. They keep wanting to put off the day till tomorrow what they knew today. If you're here without Jesus Christ, you need to do it today, not wait till tomorrow. If you're not right with the Lord, do it today. You know, so many people put off getting right with God. They never get right with God because there's always a tomorrow. Oh, if there's God is speaking to your heart. I think today our altars are empty because people are putting off till tomorrow what they need to do today. Aren't we living in this society today like what they happened and that? They not only chose a day over deliverance, but they chose an animal over a human being. Look what the text says. Look what our Lord said. Look at verse 15. Then the Lord answered them and said, thou hypocrite, did not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? In other words, you got a thirsty animal, maybe the Sabbath, but you'll go out and you'll take care of it. Do you know, here's the animal rights are not new. Take care of an animal, but don't worry about a human. Brother, I got news for you. I got a couple of hawks in our neighborhood. I'd like to get me a gun and do them in. But I'd be in jail for so long that I would not be able to do interim anymore. They're always coming on in my property there on my porch one day. They come down and just took this sweet little dove and just took it away. Killed it and ate it, of course. Well, that's natural for them to do. But I've got news for you. And we got alligators all around us. But if I shot one of those alligators, I got news for you. We can kill a baby. An eagle egg. Oh, my goodness. Well, that could be 5 to 10 years in prison for breaking an eagle egg, but you can kill a human. Nothing's new today, is it? And they really chose to side with Satan rather than with the Son of God. Jesus said, don't you know Satan's to bind them? Don't you know that? And they were on Satan's side. I find a lot of God's people are on the wrong side. On the wrong side. Oh, they're saved, but they're on the wrong side. You don't believe it? There's church splits across America. There are people leaving good churches. There are people creating harm in churches all across America today and around the world today. And I know they're on the wrong side. Now, you said they took loose his ox or his ass from the stall. Now, I know sometimes, now and then, somebody will come to me and said, I couldn't be a church. You know, it's like the ox in the ditch. You've heard that statement? I can't be a church today. You know, it's like the ox in the ditch. Well, after a while, you either need to kill the ox or fill up the ditch. You need to take care of that problem. Be where you need to be. But I'm glad today that Jesus Christ can take a poor, crippled person, straighten them up. I don't know what your problem is maybe today. You may have come in here, you need the life of Christ. You may be deaf. God has been trying to speak to you and you aren't listening. God would like to heal you today. Maybe there's a frown on your spirit because you are so displeased with life. I don't know what it is. But I'll tell you this, our Lord has compassion and like to straighten you out.